Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, beginning with the first verse of chapter 16. If you are able, I would invite you to please rise. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Siloam, brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the words of Scripture, for their teaching and claim upon our lives and our daily living. And now, O God, in these moments that we share together, we pray for your comfort, for your rest, for your peace. A sense of peace, O God, from the activities of daily life and living, those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let me add a point here on this passage of Scripture. It's kind of an odd one. Odd, not in a sense that it's an Easter passage, but did you notice how it ends? Verse 8. So they went out and fled from the tomb. Terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. It is my hope and my prayer that that is not our experience on Easter morning. That we choose to tell no one the good news of this moment, of this event, of this day. Now, if you continue reading, you'll see that the church had to deal with this, and so tradition has added a couple other endings to the Gospel of Mark. I believe there's a shorter ending and a longer ending that has a little better tone with it, that indeed they go out and begin to share the good news and to tell others about the experiences of Christ. It was on Good Friday, which was April 14th, 1865, a few years ago, 150 years ago, that President Abraham Lincoln was attending a performance in Ford's Theater, our American cousin in Washington, D.C., when an actor and a Southern conspirator, John Wilkes Booth, crept up into the balcony and shot President Lincoln in the back of the head. It happened only 4 days after the long war for the preservation of the American nation had come to an end. A great victory for the Union, followed by great mourning for an unimaginable loss, sometimes referred to as the Black Pageant. This April 15th, that date will ring a bell for other events that will be taking place. If you haven't had your taxes done, you've got a little bit more time. April 15th will mark the 150th anniversary of Lincoln's death, just 10 days after Easter. He was shot on the 14th, but he did not die until 7:22 in the morning the next day. And like the days following the assassination in 1865, Americans will once again turn our attention to remembering the one who perhaps was by some one of our greatest leaders, and certainly one of the most beloved. Although Lincoln was far from being universally loved and appreciated during his presidency, soon after his life, after his death, people began to rush to compare him to the first president of George Washington. They began to compare him to Moses in leading the people freedom from slavery to the promised land, and some even began comparing him to Jesus Christ. The parallels between Lincoln and Jesus were natural. His focus on justice for all, forgiveness and mercy for his enemies, and the liberation of the oppressed were seen as Christ-like qualities. But that's where the parallels end. Lincoln died on Holy Saturday morning, 7:22 a.m., in the home of William Peterson across the street from the Forbes Theater. And when Lincoln breathed his last breath, his Secretary of War, Edwin Stanton, said, "Now he belongs to the ages." Lincoln's body would lie in state first in the White House and then in the United States Capitol Rotunda before beginning its long journey to its final resting place in Springfield, Illinois. But on its way, the Lincoln funeral train stopped some 400 times on its long journey in order to give mourning Americans time to say goodbye to their beloved president. It was mentioned that in the, when did that book come out? The Irwin history book that just came out, that it may be that that train stopped here in Irwin. Anybody know for sure? Well, I know nobody was here then. You're not that old. But I've not read that book, so if any of you are Irwin historian buffs, if you have that book, check it out and let me know. I'll be curious to know whether or not that Lincoln train stopped here on the way through. But now let's think about the Gospel of Mark. It tells us about Jesus' burial. Jesus had been publicly and brutally crucified. It was a Friday afternoon, or some scriptures have him on the cross at 9 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon, and some say it was noon until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. At any rate, Jesus' death happened very quickly. And when he had died, a wealthy secret disciple of Jesus named Joseph of Arimathea, he asked Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, if he could have his body. was an unusual development then in request, because convicted criminals, their bodies either just hung on the cross until they rotted away, or the bodies were taken down and they were thrown in a common ditch for criminals. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a cloth, and laid it in a tomb carved out of a rocky hillside. And he then had a stone rolled against it to seal it. It wasn't exactly like the 10 feet of cement and steel that Lincoln is entombed in, but it was considered to be as safe and secure as possible for a first century tomb. Now, Lincoln's body had been elaborately embalmed. That was sort of a new thing 150 years ago. But in the first century, it was up to the families to care for the deceased, for the body. It was a two-stage process. First, the body was lovingly washed and cared for, and then it was wrapped in a linen cloth, and then it was laid in the tomb, and it was covered in spices. Those spices did two things. They cut down on the smell, the odor of decay, and they sped up the process as well. And then a year later, the family would return and collect up those bones and put them in a stone box called an ossuary, and they would place it then at the back of the tomb in a shelf that had been dug out, and then life would go on. And so on Sunday morning, the women came to the tomb to finish the funeral work that could not be completed that Friday evening because of the Sabbath day that was fast approaching. They're having a conversation. How in the world are we going to roll the stone away? And when they get close and look, they realize that the stone has already been rolled away and the tomb is open. Their first response was that grave robbers had been there and stolen the body, a practice that was so common that even the Emperor Tiberius had issued an edict condemning grave robbing. But instead of an empty tomb, the women go and peek in, and there, the scriptures tell us, on the right side of the tomb, a young man is sitting dressed in a white robe. Do not be afraid. Do not be alarmed. For you're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He's not here. He's been raised from the dead. Look, this is where they placed him. Jesus' body had been moved, but Jesus was the one that moved it. Oh, you can go to Jerusalem. You can visit the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, the traditional site of Jesus' crucifixion and the tomb, but there is no body there. His body hasn't been moved because he's alive. And that is the message and the good news of this Easter morning, that indeed Jesus Christ is alive. Oh, Lincoln may have saved his country and his people from slavery, but the risen Jesus Christ has actually saved the world. The slavery Jesus abolished was the slavery that holds human beings in bondage to sin and death. Jesus' release from the tomb means that we too will be released and set free from sin and death. Historians most always speculate how different the world, our country might be had Lincoln lived out the rest of his life, we tend to idolize those individuals who die too soon. And perhaps his later years in office would have revealed something more deeply troubling about the man than his bouts of depression, his undefined religious faith, and his tendency to go to the theater on Good Friday instead of perhaps church or staying home. But all of our heroes eventually turn to be human. And at some point, we stop comparing them with the divine and realize that they are just like us. Easter morning, however, tells us that true divinity is only found in the one who can save us, the one who is still very much alive and will make us alive as well. Oh, we should celebrate great men and women in the world. But we do better to celebrate the life and to worship the one that we call the risen Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, and our King. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, for the good news of this day, we are grateful. What a joy and celebration, O God, it is to be in your presence this day, in the presence of your resurrected Son, Jesus Christ. Continue, O God, to bless us, to anoint us, and to use us for great things in the life of your kingdom. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen.